you can start your day off right. When you find a professional on Angie to get your plumbing right first. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Visit Angie.com. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome to Orioles on the Verge. This is Zach Spedden, joined as always by Bob Phelan and Nick Stevens. And we have a lot to get into on tonight's episode as we're going to discuss the Orioles offense having a little bit of a disappointing weekend against the Pirates while the Norfolk Tide surged in their series against the Charlotte Knights. Is it time to start flipping the roster around a little bit? Time to make some moves between AAA and the majors. Later on this week, we're going to take a look at the full season minor league affiliates, Bowie, Delmarva, and Aberdeen, and how their first weekends went. And we're going to take questions from listeners. But first, as we like to do at the start of every episode, we want to welcome a new member of our Patreon community. And with that, I will turn it over to Bob.
Yeah, absolutely. Love seeing the new signups at the beginning of the year. It makes me get even more excited about the season because that just means more people are excited with us. Thank you, Sumia Adhikari, for becoming a patron for a year up front. Really appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed the content.
As a reminder, you can sign up for a Patreon community, become a paying member for as little as $3 a month, and at the $5 and $10 levels, have access to bonus daily coverage. We were happy over the weekend to be back into covering all four of the Orioles' full season affiliates on our dailies. And sometimes stuff we discuss in the dailies makes it onto the show. So definitely something you want to listen to. Be in on the trends that are going on in the Orioles farm system a little bit ahead of everyone else. Now into the main topic for this episode, which is the Orioles offense not really showing up in a disappointing weekend series at Pittsburgh. Things started off good with a 5-2 win on Friday, but then the Orioles would lose a 5-4 contest in extra innings on Saturday before being defeated 3-2 on Sunday. Sunday's game ended in walk-off fashion with Yennier Cano being charged with the blown save. And while it did spoil a good outing from Dean Kramer, and Cano ultimately is the one charged with the loss, the Orioles offense deserves a lot of blame for the way that game turned out, collecting just 6 hits with 2 runs scored after kind of an up-and-down performance on Saturday. Meanwhile, down at the AAA level, the Norfolk Tides just destroyed the Charlotte Knights in a 6-game series. There were a few close ones in there, but just to rattle off some of the scores for you. Tuesday night, they defeated Charlotte 10-6, followed it up with a 26-11 win over Charlotte, then a 9-8 victory, an 11-10 victory, a 13-1 win before dropping the Sunday finale by a final of 6-2. And Norfolk's lineup is getting contributions from the players that you would expect to be producing well right now. Jackson Holliday, Connor Norby, Kobe Mayo, Kyle Stowers, Heston Kjerstad, among others. Peyton Burdick has performed pretty well to this point. So when you look at that and you look at the Orioles offense struggling right now, it starts to become more tempting to flip those guys around. And a friend of the show, John Mioli, wrote a very good article about this in the Baltimore Banner on Monday morning. If you have not checked it out yet, I definitely would encourage you to do so because it's a good analysis of the Orioles problems and what has been going on at Norfolk. And with that, I'm going to go to Nick now. And Nick, first of all, welcome back. But as you look at the Orioles' recent struggles at the plate and the Tides lineup booming the way that it has, is it becoming a lot more tempting to you to start bringing players up from AAA to try to supplement some of these problems in the majors?
Yes. There's one player in particular down there in Norfolk that I think at this point should be on the major league roster. But I guess I'll start with this. I'll start with a more positive take here instead of just diving in right now and being like, call this guy up right now. This isn't working anymore. I will say this, just generally speaking about this team at the major league level first, that I think some of the issues like this team can't hit left-handed pitching, this lineup needs a complete overhaul, we've got to dump this guy, we've got to dump that guy. I think it's a little much 2 weeks into the year. And I think this first week or so, especially this past weekend, or really these last two series, I think it was just a really unfortunate combination of some of the right-handed bats not firing on all cylinders or many cylinders or any cylinder at all to begin the year, and just this whirlwind of left-handed pitchers that the Orioles faced. I know they weren't quality lefters outside of Cole Reagans, who was a monster in the best possible way, but I feel like it's just been a lot of unfortunate timing, and we're talking about a small sample size, and everybody's super jacked up and ready for this season, and it's World Series, you know, aspirations for this team or for the fan base, and opening day was so amazing, kind of rocking Sandoval there, a lefty, and then the team just kind of gone flat outside of, like, Mountcastle's performing well, obviously. Adley's performing well. Gunner, Ryan O'Hearn's got a couple of good at-bats as well. But guys like that you really need to step up, like Ramon Arias, Austin Hayes, they're just not showing up at all, really. And so I think it's just been unfortunate timing. So, like, there is one guy, like I mentioned, that I do want up on this Major League roster right now, but I'm not going to be too mad, honestly, at this point. The Orioles still have a winning record. I feel even more confident about this team when I look at the rest of the American League after watching some baseball for the first 2 weeks or so. And we'll see how this shakes out over the next couple of days. But I think it's really just unfortunate timing of events and just guys not getting going early enough in the season so far. And I think it'll all pan out in over the next couple of weeks, hopefully.
Yeah, I'll say, like, this weekend was a heartbreaker because it seemed like both of those games we could have won, should have won, just slipped through our fingers. The game you fight, you come back, you tie it up, you take a lead, and then you blow it. That sucks. You waste a Danny Coulomb, excellent performance escape artist. And then Sunday, Dean Kramer, 7 no earned runs allowed, looks great. And then, you know, that happens in the bottom of the ninth and you lose it. But can't blame Gunnar Henderson. I know that for sure. I mean, kid's trying to make a play. A lot of guys don't even get to that ball. And he almost made the game-winning double play. So I can't really fault him for that. Just bad, like you said, unfortunate timing as far as the bats being cold. I think we were spoiled by the first two games of the year. The bats were just, like, scorching hot, scoring double-digit runs, and then they all went cold around the same time. And I think, look, last year we started 4-5, I think 8-9. Like, it wasn't the greatest start ever last season either, and we saw how that turned out. But I think my favorite comment that I've seen is that the Orioles are 5-4. It's disappointing. 5-4 correlated over the full course of a season is 90 wins, which that's a playoff team. So, and we know these guys are going to play better. These guys are going to hit better. We know guys like Westberg are streaky. Mullins, he missed 2 weeks in spring training. He might not be completely caught up to speed. Like, these guys are going to hit. The pitching's been fantastic. The defense, that started out slow last year too. I think we know who we have on this team, and we know what's coming, whether it's soon or a little bit later than maybe we want. Not worried about the season at all. But yeah, we could have very easily lost some of those games against Kansas City and then won these games against Pittsburgh. I think our luck kind of evened out there. But yeah, I think this team's going to play better sooner rather than later.
What's frustrating right now is as I watch a game, I feel like if someone in the first five spots in the order doesn't produce, then it's lost because you get down to 6, 7, 8, 9 and things just drop off most nights. And you hit on some of the guys that have struggled to this point, Arias, Mullins, Hayes. You know, they, all three of them, and I don't want to single those three out as being the main problem because that's not fair to them. Everyone has had a bad day to this point, and that's going to happen in the course of a season. But the bottom of the order just isn't really picking up the slack right now. So if you're the other team's pitching staff, you have to feel like, okay, if I can get past Gunner and Adley and keep at least one of them off base before I have to face Ryan Mountcastle, I'm going to get through this order unscathed. Because right now, that's how the lineup looks. Now, I do think some of that's going to turn around. I don't think that Austin Hayes, and I know he's kind of a popular target for scoring right now. I don't think Austin Hayes is going to be this bad all year. I think eventually things are going to click for Ramon Arias. Mullins worries me a little bit because he didn't really hit well in the second half last year. But we also know he has not really been healthy for close to a year now. So there's just a lot of ups and downs that the Orioles are going to have to sort through. One positive sign I will say, though, I really like the way the Colton Cowser looks. He's taking really good at-bats. He's making hard contact. The home run power isn't there yet, but it's eventually going to come around in some form. So I really like the way Kowser is playing. And I think in the short term, you could take advantage of the fact that now the Orioles are moving into a part of the schedule where they're going to be facing largely right-handed pitchers to give Kowser more at-bats. That's what I hope happens when they head to Boston this week.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been very encouraged by what we've seen from Kowser so far. Looks much more like the prospect we have been watching coming up through the system the past few years. Looks confident, more aggressive in the zone early in counts, making the plays in left field and at Camden Yards when we were playing there against Kansas City. I think he made some really nice plays that Hayes might have made, but they might have been made to look a little more difficult than Kowser did. He's firing on all cylinders. And the weird thing about the offense is that these are a bunch of guys that, at least last year, and we know guys like Adley, Gunner, Santander was even getting better at being patient, having long at-bats, really working the pitcher, drawing the walks. Well, the walk rate's only 6.7% as a team, and they're not really doing that. They're being really aggressive, and they're not striking out that much either. The strikeout rate as a team is only 19.6, which is, I think, lower than last year, but they've hit the ball hard, right at people a lot. You know, a little bit of luck there as well, but I think they need to get back into. And that's what happened when we did score those double-digit runs in the first two games of the year. I felt like they were really working the pitchers. Like the first inning of the first game, Sandoval was you let him walk the bases loaded, and then you take advantage. So I think that it's more of an approach thing right now, and I don't know if your approach can go through slumps, but that's what it feels like for the most part is happening right now. I will say Austin Hayes, look, he will be better than he is right now, but he looks like he's aged 5 years since 2023 season ended. He doesn't look as athletic or as strong. Looks like he's pulling a wagon behind him when he's running and hitting everything on the ground. I think he only has two hard hit balls or balls over 100 miles per hour all season. I do think he'll be better, but man, the way Kowser's starting out, I'm like, man, I want to see so much more Kowser. Like you said, all these right-handers coming up, he better be in the lineup at least like 50% of the time.
Yeah. I mean, didn't he just have a second kid? So he's got two kids. I mean, we got multiple kids.
I've aged probably more than that.
I was going to say, to be fair to Austin there, yeah, if there is one guy that I am frustrated with, it's Austin Hayes. It's just because Kowser has looked so good. But yeah, and you look some of these too, like I'm just nitpicking these stats here, just cherry picking these stats, but like Babbitt. Gunnar Henderson's got a 200 BABIP. Westbrook's 208. Mullins is 111. Hayes is 105. Ramon Arias is 067. So, like, if they're hitting the ball hard, which I want to say I saw a tweet about this earlier today, like, the Orioles are hitting the ball hard. They're up there among the league leaders in hard hit rates, and they have one of the lowest BABIPs in the league. So, hopefully, it's just a little bit of bad luck that's going to turn around. Like, I'm looking at my fantasy teams where I just went crazy on elite hitters early in these drafts, and they're not doing well. Like this, it's not just an Orioles problem. A lot of these top hitters just aren't connecting right now. I'll give it some time, but you know, I will say, like I preface there, if we want to get this back to Norfolk and what these guys down there are doing, when I look at this roster, I do. It's Jackson Holliday. We just want to talk about Jackson Holliday for a little bit. Like, not he wasn't on the opening day roster. It happened. The season started. The decision was made. You look back, and it's justifiable, right? The onslaught of lefties this team is facing. He doesn't have the experience. He didn't play a ton, very much at all, second base late last season. It's obvious he's going to play primarily second base when he comes up. So you want to get him some reps. Have the time considerations and all that as well. I'm sure that might be at play for a little bit. Is whatever it is, it's justifiable reasons, I think, to hold him down for a little bit. It's fine. Not going to fight that anymore. But at this point, after watching Holliday these 2 weeks in Norfolk, what's he doing? Let me pull it up here. I'll draw it down. I think
he's walked 11 times.
Yeah, he's just versus lefties as well. He's only 3-for-7. Again, I feel like we should cut these next like 2-3 weeks, just caveat at the front. Everything we're talking about, a small sample size. We got that. But he's 3-for-7 against lefties with a double, a home run, no walks, no strikeouts. 429 average, 1375 OPS. And we want to make a big deal about his defense. Yeah, the defense didn't look great opening night for Norfolk. you got what, one or two workouts at Harbor Park before the season starts. You've been in Sarasota the last couple of months. You're adjusting to colder weather, playing under the lights at a minor league ballpark in the colder temperatures, new field that you got. I know they were there last year, but they're trying to adjust back to Harbor Park. It looked a little iffy opening night and maybe the second night, but like, you talk about John Mueller's article, pull out this quote right here, when there's a lot of great quotes in this article about an opposing scout that was there that watched a lot of these games against Charlotte. He also noted, the scout noted that Holiday didn't put a foot wrong at second base, positing he'd be at least a plus defender there with the potential to play the position well immediately.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
I agree. Like, I'm no scout. I'm no expert. I've watched every inning of this Norfolk Tide season so far. And yeah, he's at what, at least two throwing errors. I'd say at least one of them, if Kerstad's not playing first base and it's Mountcastle or a more seasoned first baseman, I'll be nice to Kerstad there because he's knocking the crap out of the ball. A more seasoned first base gets those picks, I think. On at least one of them, if not both of them, that I recall. Not to completely like take all the blame away from Holiday, you got to make the better throw. Like, you got to do that first and foremost. He does get some of that blame, but a more seasoned, better first baseman makes some of those picks. Other than that, he's made some diving plays. He's making the routine plays. Like, you can, it's very easy to replace somebody like a Tony Kemp or somebody on this roster and put Holiday on there and put him in this lineup, and he will be a major contributor. So that's the only thing that I'm starting to be like, I can be patient. I can wait for this team to start to click. I'm not concerned at all about the long-term outlook of this team, at least this year's concerned. But the Holiday thing, as I'm watching this play out, that is irking me a touch here these last couple of days.
I think he's got to be up by Friday if he's going to still be eligible for the Rookie of the Year draft pick. And that goes for Mayo, Kerstad, all those guys as well. And they'll get, if they come up before then, they'll get their full year backdated as if they were here from opening day. But yeah, I honestly think the big five at Norfolk, all of them are just playing their asses off, like playing mad in a good way, like playing with a chip on their shoulder. And if there's anything I can excuse, it's throwing errors early in the season in cold weather after you come up from Sarasota. Like, especially if you want to talk about Kobe Mayo has made some throwing errors. It's been talked about a lot. He's dealing with the new throwing motion, right? So that's got to, you know, give him some time to get adjusted to that as well. Same with Holiday. Kerstad, I'm not sure he's a great first baseman. I think he might be better off right field, DH, but the bat plays for sure. But yeah, Holiday, what's he do? He gets on base and, you know, all these concerns about, yeah, but how many home runs is he going to hit in the major leagues? Well, kid hit the ball 108 miles per hour on Sunday. He's hitting the ball harder consistently, as you would expect for a 20, 21-year-old as he's maturing, hitting the ball harder. Just got to hit in the air a little bit more, and I think he's doing that as well. So, honestly, I think all these guys have a case to come up. Even Norby, I think he has a case as well. The Orioles could use a right-handed bat that could play corner outfield, which I think Norby could provide, and second base as well. So the Orioles have put themselves in this position, though, where they've held on to the veterans. They've held on to the guys like Hayes and Arias, and they are letting these guys get hot and just they're major leaguers playing at AAA, and it shows. And all of them deserve the shot, and it's just a matter of who's going to be first and when it's going to happen. I hope it starts this week. That's what I'll say.
Yeah, and it reminds me of a quote here from John's article that I wanted to pull out. And I know sometimes with our listeners, when they read an article that has an anonymous scout quoted in it, they kind of want to toss it aside like that's one person's opinion. Well, people have been doing that kind of writing for years. And John, I think, in this article shows you exactly how you should do it, which is to kind of dig a little bit deeper into things we already know. And the scout, quoting here directly, the Charlotte ballpark is a bandbox. Everybody hits well there. Pitchers don't pitch well there, but there's more than that. Chicago's pitching now, as a reminder, the Knights are a AAA affiliate of Chicago White Sox. Chicago's pitching is bad at the big league, so AAA is brutal. To put it bluntly, Charlotte is just bad, and Norfolk is just a bunch of guys that are major league ready. That is absolutely true. Norfolk's lineup right now, most of those players are major league ready. Holiday is major league ready. I think Norby and Mayo are major league ready. Kershaw and Stowers have been in the majors already. So that's, I think, where some fans are feeling a frustration right now. As you look at the players who aren't hitting, the ones who are hitting now or aren't hitting at the major leagues, and the ones who are hitting at AAA, and you feel like you can easily switch them around. I do agree that if you're going to look at which player can have the biggest impact up front, it's going to be Holiday, because he would take the roster spot that right now belongs to Tony Kemp. And the only thing that Kemp does that Holiday maybe doesn't do that well is stolen bases. But if you're not getting one base, what does that matter?
He's pretty good at coming up with high fives and stuff on the bench and raising team spirit.
I mean, I get the Tony Kemp thing. I get having that glue guy, the veteran, whatever it may be, especially early on in the year, like the 26th guy, right? You're not concerned about getting him any at-bats. Like, if Tony Kemp doesn't play for 4 days in a row, no one's going to notice. People are probably going to be thankful. But if Jackson Holliday's on the roster and he's not playing two nights in a row, people are going to freak out and ask why Jackson Holliday isn't playing. Look at Colton Cowser right now. It's like, I get it. It's just, it's frustrating because I know the service time stuff is there. I know that will help. But at the same time, it's just frustrating because there is some dead weight on this major league roster that the Orioles can move on from. And they have guys. And it's not just like, oh, Holliday's a top prospect. He's totally ready. Everyone knows Jackson Holliday is ready, and everyone knows that Jackson Holliday, the defensive talk, I'm so sick and tired of hearing about people talk about Jackson Holliday's defense already. It's 2 weeks into the year, and we're already at that point. All he needs to do is be an average second baseman right now. That's it, because the bat is going to play. And he's batting leadoff for Norfolk, and last week against Chicago, five of the six games, he led off by getting on base, either via walk or a hit. He's not going to be the leadoff hitter in Baltimore when he comes up, but still, like, that's what he's doing. Yeah, Charlotte wasn't good. I know one of the games was Chad Kuhl was a starter. Like, that's a veteran there, and Holliday got a hit off of him. Yeah, they're not elite pitchers, but still, it's like Zach read off the quote. I think it's pretty accurate. Yeah, you take these numbers with a grain of salt, but these guys are, especially those top five guys, they're major league quality bats doing exactly what they need to do. They pounded an inferior opponent into the ground this past week. That's what you want to see these guys do. So yeah, it's just, and you talk about Norby. I feel like we're going to talk about, there's questions about Norby that we're going to get to later on, but I will bring this up. I know Zach noted here on the timeline, I dug a little bit more research on the Norby and the exit velos and how hard he's hitting it. Talk about Norby for a second, just add more fuel to this fire of where you're going to play Connor Norby. He's putting up unbelievable numbers as well. He's got four home runs to begin the year and 7-8 games. So on the data sheet that we got a hold of last year, Connor Norby had an average exit velo of 86.5 miles per hour. It's not my favorite average exit velo, but it's what we got. Average exit velo of 86.5. His average exit velo right now, up to this point, is 90.7 miles per hour in Norfolk. Now, the 86.5 average exit velo last year and his 90th percentile EV numbers were on par with Taron Vavra. They were like almost identical to Taron Vavra, to give you like a little bit of context on how hard Connor Norby was hitting the ball. Not very. So he's up over 4 miles per hour in average exit velo right now. And his hard hit percentage last year, it was, and that's 95 plus miles per hour batted balls. His hard hit percentage was 30% last year in AAA. He's at 40% right now through the first 2 weeks of the year. So even Norby is knocking the crap out of the ball, trying to prove
it. Yeah. And we know that he had some minor swing adjustments. I think that was another Mioli article or somewhere that he's made some kind of swing adjustment. I don't know if it's major or minor, but hey, seems to be paying off in some serious ways so far. And another one of my favorite quotes from that article was that Heston Kjerstad is taking some of the most comfortable at-bats that this scout has ever seen in his entire life, which, yeah, it does make sense. He's just crushing the ball. I'm calling him the Barrel King from now on. Like, he doesn't have the elite exit velocities of a Coby Mayo, but he hits the ball at the right angle, and he hits it hard enough, and ball goes flying.
And I'll say this, too, about all these guys. Excuse me. It's fun to sit here and, you know, be upset that these guys aren't in the major leagues. It makes for good content. What else are we going to talk about right now? It's early on in the year. But at the same time, to go back to my first point of how, like, I'm not worried about this team, this does add to that lack of worry for me. It's like, it is still very early on in the year. And I don't buy this thing that, like, wins in August or July mean more than wins in April, because wins right now, like that game Sunday against Pittsburgh, you should have won that game. There's no excuse to lose that game against Pittsburgh.
We win that, it last year with Felix. Point
exactly.
Blank.
And what if this division comes down to one game? You look back, well, this was your one game that you should have won. So like every game is just as important as the next. But it is so early on still. This team has reinforcement after reinforcement after reinforcement prepared to go, so they can move on from this dead weight. And if Austin Hayes doesn't ever pull through, like, he's got an option. They could send him down to Norfolk if they need to. They can make a move there. They can make a move for Ramon Arias. And they have an adequate or better replacement, certainly guys with much higher ceilings, ready to replace them. Or if this team needs to make a trade and they want to make a big deal, they've got plenty of guys still to pull off a big trade. So I think on the reverse side of that, I am still confident of where this team is headed. And I know that the guys that deserve to be in the major leagues, they're going to be up there soon enough. It is just frustrating to watch Ramon Arias and Austin Hayes play like they have and say, and then we turn on MILB TV and I'm watching Norfolk, and it's like, it's the first inning, Norfolk's already up 6-0, and Heston Kjerstad has 2 home runs. It's like, come on.
Well, and let's not forget, it was about this time last year that the Orioles optioned Cole Irvin to AAA because he was off to a slow start. So if people don't think that Mike Elias is unwilling to make that kind of move, it's wrong, because there is precedence for it. And the Orioles' expectations going into last season were much lower than they were going into this season. So I do think there's going to be urgency when the timing is right. And that brings me really to the final point that I have for this segment, which is the Orioles are now heading to Boston to start this week off. The Red Sox, particularly their pitching staff, outperforming expectations by quite a bit right now. Then they're going to have Milwaukee when they come home. Norfolk, meanwhile, is going back to Harbor Park to play Scranton Wilkes-Barre this week. What's going to happen, and what are we going to be talking about next Monday?
Hopefully not that D.L. Hall just pitched a quality start against the Orioles at Camden Yards. And
not Joey with his 51 stuff plus fastball. I don't think so.
No, the fan in me, like, that's what we are first and foremost. We're Orioles fans. We want to see the best product on the field. But obviously, you always don't send your best 26 guys on the roster. I don't think a move gets made this week in Boston. I think we're going to roll with what we got, and hopefully we see at least one of these guys, Austin Hayes or Ramon Arias, one of these guys steps up. Santander starts picking it up a little bit as well. He has 2 home runs, but he's also hitting, what, barely 200. I think the bats start to pick it up a little bit this week. Maybe it was a wake-up call. The pitching has been, I was going to say, great. Parts of it have been great. They've got the Orioles rank, what, 5th in ERA, 5th in FIP, I think 5th in F4 when I was looking earlier. Like, this staff as a whole, that includes bullpen and starters. The staff as a whole, yeah, there are certain guys not performing up to expectations.
Mike Bauman.
We'll talk about him later on, don't worry. But there's, like, this pitching staff is performing pretty well overall. I have a lot of confidence that even if a move is not made, that the bats pick it up, and it's Boston. Let's take it to them. These games are always so much fun. It's their home opening day. Like, let's ruin a Tuesday up there in Boston, some of these fans, and get the wheels back on track here.
I would love to see Coby Mayo pepper that green monster this week, but we might have to wait till the next time we're in Boston. I really think there's also no reason Heston Kjerstad should not be up here right now as well. I would say even Kerstad for Kemp in the meantime, and if they're going to keep waiting on Holiday, makes a lot of sense because he hits lefties as well as he hits righties. He can hit for power to all fields. I think he would be a great addition. I don't know. I think we're probably talking about when are the Orioles going to bring someone up this time next week. But hopefully it's coming off of a better week than a 3-for-3. 3-and-3.
Absolutely. And in our next episode, we're going to break down the opening weekends for the Bowie Bay Sox, Aberdeen Ironbirds, and Delmarva Shorebirds. You're not going to want to miss that. In the meantime, you can check us out on our many social media channels. We're over at Facebook, Instagram, Threads, X, TikTok, and YouTube. And while you're browsing the internet, be sure to become a patron if you're not one already, or subscribe to our Substack where you can get articles from Bob, Nick, and I throughout the season. We also have our Discord community, which is very active, and encourage you to join that as well. For Bob Phelan and Nick Stevens, this is Zach Spedden. You've been listening to Orioles on the Verge, part of the Believe Podcast Network.
You can live out your MasterChef dream when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Visit Angie.com. You can do this when you Angie that.